to you, and peace. Amen. Now, every time I read or hear a recitation of the Beatitudes, I can't help but think of a particular scene in the movie The Life of Brian. It parodies Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The crowds are gathered around Jesus. You can see him off in the distance there at the top of the hill. There are those standing towards the back, though, that are straining to hear and having their own side conversations in response to what they think Jesus is preaching about. Someone repeats what they believe Jesus has just said. Blessed are the cheesemakers. Well, there's a curious conversation that follows around why would cheesemakers be deserving of such honor? So I thought about playing that clip for you this morning, but for the handful of you that might appreciate the humor of Monty Python, just mentioning the scene is really all that's required to get you thinking and smiling. And for the rest of you, I suppose, watching the video would only aggravate those of you who don't appreciate the humor of Monty Python. And those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about would be just left wondering, why would anyone, let alone our pastor, find something so odd, funny at all? So suffice it to say, according to Matthew at least, Jesus didn't say, blessed are the cheesemakers. It was the peacemakers that he lifted up, along with the poor in spirit and the meek and the merciful and so on. 9 constituencies in all. Jesus offers a word of blessing for each of them as he sits there teaching his disciples. And of course, with Matthew's help, we're privileged to sit in and listen along. These beloved Beatitudes form the introduction of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to ask you the same question that I posed to my colleagues at our text study earlier this week. Can you find yourself on this list? Are God's blessings coming to you because you're a part of one or more of these classes? Now, one of the pastors was quick to exclaim, aren't we all poor in spirit? I mean, doesn't that make a place for all of us? I didn't really challenge her because I knew that there are times that my spirit falls far short from where it could be. And last Wednesday, though, I thought my spirit was doing just fine. And so far today, it's doing pretty good too. Maybe yours isn't. Maybe that's why you're here today, to get a spirit fill-up. Jesus has got some blessing for you then. Now, lots of words have been used to describe me, but there's one I am certain that has never been used. Meek. Another strike for me. But hooray for those of you that don't lack in the timidity or even occasional introvertedness that I would struggle to muster. I do know what it means to mourn, and certainly have experienced the struggles associated with loss. I imagine there are more than a few here today that are actively mourning. And I'm glad that you're here. And I hope that these words from Jesus offer some consolation this day. Now, if you can't tell by my fine physique, I am not one who generally hungers or thirsts for very long. But Matthew's full text takes us somewhere beyond where Luke's Beatitudes about hunger and thirsting do. In Matthew's telling, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Take note. Righteousness. Not post-church brunch and mimosas. Also note that righteousness is connected to another constituency, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Righteousness is an important theme in Matthew's story, and one that we'll pick up with some regularity. righteousness describes a particular way of living in relationship with God. And Matthew's portrait of Jesus suggests that old assumptions are being challenged now, and a new model is being revealed. That being said, I'm not particularly proud of my own quest for righteousness, at least as Matthew describes it, nor do I feel particularly persecuted as a result either. Two other blessed groups that I'm not feeling a part of right now. Maybe you're feeling similarly. Hopefully not. I haven't had much cause to practice mercy of late. I'd like to believe I would really be ready when the moment calls for it. And intellectually, I think the criminal justice reform that's underway feels like a good thing, especially the reduction of sentencing guidelines for minor crimes and drug offenses. And I'd like to do more to slow the rise and spread of this privatized criminal reform corrections industry. That being said, I'm still really mad at the young punk that stole my car and broke into our garage last year. I think he got off easy because the county attorneys wouldn't throw the book at him as hard as I would have liked. Maybe I do need more practice with mercy. And while I think I use my heart in a lot of good ways, purity seems like an impossible standard to meet. Do I let love trump every decision in my life? Not even close. Do I still maintain a list of people that I can't bring myself to love? I have to be honest and say that as hard as I try to erase names off that list, some seem to be written in permanent ink. Finally, what about the cheesemakers? I mean, the peacemakers. I'd love to imagine that I could be a card-carrying member of that club. I should be. I hate conflict. Actually, to be honest some more, I avoid conflict. That's what I'm really good at. And avoiding conflict is not the same thing as peacemaking. Avoiding conflict is passive. Peacemaking is active. Avoiding conflict is refusing to compromise. Peacemaking is finding the common ground. Avoiding conflict is being swept up by the crowd and going along with what everyone else is saying and doing. Peacemaking is dancing into the space between the opposing sides and praying for calm. I need to stop avoiding the conflict and become a better peacemaker. Now, another approach to finding out which blessed constituency you or I might belong to, well, that might be to look at the resulting form of the blessings received. Logic would suggest if we possess the blessing, then perhaps we're a part of the particularly blessed. So when I read this list, I see a lot of good news. What do you see? Mourning means comfort. That which is missing will appear. Grace will be met with grace. And God will stand with those who respond. And notice the bookends on the list. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember John's words from the wilderness and Jesus' words as he came back from that wilderness. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is here now. And God comes to those who do this holy work. Humble yourself. Seek out justice and righteousness. Lead with your heart. Make peace. Show mercy. God is here. I mentioned that there are 9 constituencies that Jesus lifts up to bless us in his sermon. But if you've been paying attention, you've noted that there are only 8 listed on the screen. Remember, Jesus is up on the mountainside talking and teaching to his new disciples. He's preparing them for ministry, for the work that is to come. And lest they, like me, or maybe even you, think that today I'm not on this list, or that I'm somehow excluded from any of these constituencies, there's one more group to be blessed. You. You. Blessed are you, Jesus says to his disciples. And he's saying it to us. Follow me, says Jesus, and I will show you what it means to live as one of these constituent groups, this collection of people that God finds favor with, this unlikely and historically marginalized collection of people. This blessed identity belongs to you too. Blessed are you, says Jesus. But full confession again, there's an asterisk that goes along with this you. What Jesus really says is, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Well, that's some pretty important fine print tagged along to the end of these Beatitudes, don't you think? Follow me and be blessed, Jesus says. Oh, and by the way, watch out for the reviling and the persecuting and the evil utterances. My pastor friends and I like to say that in this 9th group, we finally find a club to which we can claim ready allegiance, the reviled and the persecuted. Jesus is building up his team of followers, and they're going to have to carry on some really important transformational work, and he's not holding back. It's hard work, but there is blessing for those who follow Jesus too. And that heaven that has come near, that's a pretty marvelous thing to behold. It's filled with all the people you know. They belong to these other groups, and they belong to God, as do you. Blessed are you. Finally, having offered up all these blessings, Jesus declares to his followers that blessed are people who have some important, blessed people have some important obligations to maintain. You are the salt of the earth. You give the world what it needs to thrive, to be joy-inducing, to be something worth participating with. And you are the light of the world, the light that shines within you, within each of us. It's too important to be kept from shining. This joyful world that God has created for us and with us needs the light that God has placed within you to shine for all to see. All those who are now called blessed, the poor in spirit or pure in heart, the meek or the mourning, the cheesemakers and the peacemakers, all of us who hope to follow Jesus, we have work to do. Be salt for the earth. Shine your light out into the world. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Thanks be to God. Amen.